today as we come to the table.
Notice verse 8, went out of the tabernacle, and when he went out there, notice all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. Amazing. They would watch Moses go to seek God and show their respect by rising and acknowledging him as he did, but not many of them went out there and sought the Lord themselves. They simply watched Moses do it. Guys, what's my point? Still today, there are many within the church who will watch the godly seek the Lord, but when it comes to them going outside the camp, they don't do it. Who are we? Are we one of those? Are we one of those that just watch other people seek the Lord? Are we one of those that says, you know what? I'm going to go outside the camp. Don't be that person, guys. Make up your mind. I'm going to go outside the camp.
The meeting place Moses set up with the Lord was not within the borders of Israelites' camping space. Moses went out away from the people to spend time with God. And as Pastor Mark will share today, it wasn't mandated that he do this alone. In fact, all were welcome to join Moses in seeking the Lord, but the people simply didn't go. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Think about your own opportunities to encounter the Lord. It may be a church or in a small group gathering or home with your family. Are you sitting back and watching others experience His presence, or are you jumping in and participating for yourself? The invitation is open to you. Come seek the Lord. Know Him personally. It'll change your life. Turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 33 to join Pastor Mark as he continues his message, The Call to Take the Land.
Notice in verse 7, Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp. He goes, if God can't meet me here, then I'm going to go to a place where God can meet me. I love this. This is a heart after God. Far from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of meeting. I want to stop there a minute, mid-verse. Here's the point, guys. Here's the application for this. It doesn't mean that we're not among the world, those who don't know the Lord, and maybe even, you know, other believers who are not walking the way they should so we can pull them up. He's not saying that. We have to be among them, or how are we going to reach them? Is everybody with me? But we can't be like them. And if we start living like them, God says, I can't, I'm sorry. I'm breaking fellowship. I can't do that. If you're going to be like the world, you're going to be like that. You've got to draw to me. I desire holiness. We sang that song, Holiness. You know, it's what I need because it's what also draws us to the Lord. And Moses, I love Moses' heart because Moses says, all right, Lord, if I can't leave my tabernacle right here and you meet with me, I'm taking my tent out here. And I'm going to go out here where I can meet with you. And Moses still came back and ministered to the people, didn't he? He still came back and reached out to the people, didn't he? But here's what Moses did. Moses made sure he wasn't like the people, that he was like God, that he was seeking God. Guys, some of us have decisions to make about friends, about family maybe. Doesn't mean you can't love them and be around them, but make sure you're not being like them. Because that will hinder the Spirit of the Lord. Moses knew that. Notice this, that everyone who sought the Lord, I have that underlined, went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was where? Outside the camp. Here it is, guys. You want to walk close with God and see His glory? In a minute, we're going to see that because Moses did this, he saw the glory of the Lord. So here's what God's been ministering to me today. Mark, do you want to see my glory? Do you want to see my power? Yes, Lord, I do, of course. Then you've got to go outside the camp and you've got to live outside the camp. That doesn't mean not to mingle with people of the world. We've already said that. But it means that we have to make up our mind. I am not going to live like the world. I'm not going to accept the standards of the world. I'm not going to do the things the world does. I'm going to be different. I'm going to set myself apart from my God. I'm going to go outside the camp. Even if I'm all alone, if nobody's with me, I'm going outside the camp so that I can be close to my God. Guys, are we in that place? Are we really in that place? I had a friend say to me just recently, Jesus has to be first in your life and everything. And it hit my heart right on. That was from the Lord. Because although we know that, how many times do we let things creep in that aren't the Lord being first, if you will? So Moses goes outside the camp. You just simply can't be like everyone else and the rest of the camp. But there's also a picture here that I believe God was giving the Jews, even of Jesus' day and today, and that is this. If the Jews want a relationship with God, they're going to have to go outside the camp to find it because Judaism is not the answer. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus went outside. He was sacrificed as a sin offering. It says in the New Testament, outside the city walls. It's the same picture he's giving here. Judaism is not going to lead them to God. They've got to go outside that and receive the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So there's a picture God, I think, is giving here to the nation of Israel to go outside and not be a part of that. But there's also that relationship that God shows us that if we're going to have that closeness with God, guys, we can't be like everybody else. We just can't. And I want to say something else to you because I had this come in as a baby Christian. When I first got saved, God put all these convictions in my heart about how he wanted me to live. And as I began to live around other more mature believers, I put that in quotes. You know what they began to say to me? Oh, come on, Mark, you're being too strict. You're being too whatever. You're doing this, you're doing that. And as the years went by, I would kind of lighten up. I kind of let off a little bit. And then as the years went by, God began to say to me, who are you going to listen to, them or me? I gave you the standard in your heart that I was calling you to. Don't let them tell you that it's legalism. Don't let them tell you that it's holier than thou. I gave it to you. Now, don't be legalistic. Don't be self-righteous. But if I put this in your heart, don't let even other well-meaning believers, don't let them talk you out of it. I think about the prophet. Remember the prophet that went up to make the proclamation? Maybe you don't. And I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not going to try to remember the specific king's name. But they don't tell the prophet's name. But there was a prophet that went up to the northern kingdom. There was a king that was in sin and rebellion in the northern kingdom. And the prophet goes up to the northern kingdom, and God said, you go up there, you make a proclamation against the king, against the northern kingdom, and against the altar as a sign for them. And then you come back home. Don't eat anything. Don't drink anything. Don't have fellowship with them. They're sinful people. So the prophet hears God's voice. He goes up there and he goes, oh, king, God's going to judge you. He's going to judge the north. And as a sign right now, the altar is going to split in two and the ashes are going to pour out. And it says right at that moment, the altar split in two and the ashes poured out on the ground. And the king reached out, arrest that man, right? And then the king's hand withered up. And the king said, oh, forgive me. Please pray that my hand would become unwithered. So the prophet graciously said, Lord, you know, unwither his hand. And his hand came back to normal. And then the prophet said, come back and I'll give you a reward. No. God told me not to eat or drink anything here. I've got to go. I just was to proclaim the judgment. I'm leaving. He starts leaving. Another prophet in the north hears about him. And he sends his sons to him. And he tells him, he says, hey, guess what? I'm a prophet too. Go and tell him I'm a prophet too, which was true. And God told me to have you come over to my house to have something to eat. The prophet was lying. But he wanted to meet this man of God. So they go and get him. And rather than the man of God saying, no, I've heard God's voice already. God already told me what he wanted me to do. And because God told him, you know, what he wants me to do, I'm going to obey that. He goes over to this other guy's house, this other prophet, and he eats with him. And then of all things, this kills me about the story. The other prophet looks at him. God speaks to him. And all of a sudden, the other prophet looks at him and says, thus says the Lord, because you didn't obey me and you ate, I'm going to have a lion kill you on the way home. I'd be like, wait a minute. You invited me over here. You said God told me to eat. I ate. Now God says through you, a lion's going to kill me on the way home. Thanks a lot. But here's the lesson. You listen to God no matter what anybody else says, even another believer, even someone who says they have a word of God for you. You listen to the Lord. We have to make sure that we're hearing God and doing what God tells us to do and not anybody else. Notice verse 8, went out of the tabernacle at all. And when he went out there, notice all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. Amazing. They would watch Moses go to seek God and show their respect by rising and acknowledging him as he did. But not many of them went out there and sought the Lord themselves. They simply watched Moses do it. Guys, what's my point? Still today, there are many within the church who will watch the godly seek the Lord. But when it comes to them going outside the camp, they don't do it. Who are we? Are we one of those? Are we one of those that just watch other people seek the Lord? Or are we one of those who says, you know what? I'm going to go outside the camp. Don't be that person, guys. Make up your mind. I'm going to go outside the camp. Moses did. They're watching Moses. And notice it said in verse 9, it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle and the Lord talked with Moses. What a loaded verse. Look at this. Look now at the result and the reward of Moses going where? Outside the camp. So that he could have an intimate relationship with the Lord and set himself apart for God. Look at this. A cloud of glory descended on him. He had sweet fellowship with the Lord, and God talked to him. How many of you guys have decided to go outside the camp, spend time in prayer and in the Word, and say, God just said that to me right out of the Bible? You ever had that happen? It's because you're outside of the camp. You're not just going along with everybody else around you and what's happening in the world. You're seeking the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God will speak to you when you do that. God shows you His glory. I love it. I mean, there are great rewards for choosing to go outside the camp and not listening to people who tell you whatever they tell you. And notice verse 10, and the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle of the door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. I don't know about you guys, but I would have wanted to go out there. Look, it's the glory of the Lord. Let's go. It says that everyone who sought the Lord went out. So the people standing at the tent doors were not seeking the Lord. They were just going, wow, looks like a really great service. It's awesome. And I was thinking, how many people today stand at the tent door and turn the TV on so they can see some pastor rather than go and have real fellowship with God's people? That's not wrong to watch some pastor on TV. You can stand at the tent door some. But if all we're doing is standing at the tent door and not getting involved in fellowship, there's been a trend the last few years in America that's still really going, and that is where people pretty much don't gather together for fellowship as a body. They do their own thing, and they'll say things like, well, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's a true statement. Let me just say that is true. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I wasn't even in church when I got saved. I was in an apartment by myself. So you don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But guys, note this, and I say this with a sense of humility. You do have to go to church to be obedient. Because the Bible says, do not, and it's in the command form, what's called the imperative in the language. It says, do not forsake the assembling together of believers. That doesn't tell you how many times. It doesn't mean that you have to go every Sunday night and every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning. And, you know, we come up with our own traditions about how often we have services, right? What he's saying is there should be a regular time every week where we're gathering together to be with God's people, because that's what God commands in His Word. He says, be obedient to that. And then he goes on to say in that same verse, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So as we see the Lord coming back, he says we should be seeking the Lord more. And what's interesting is the Bible says in the last days there'll be a great falling away. So we see the two forces working against each other. They're standing in the tent door. Wow, what a great looking service. And just, man, get out there. What are you doing? You know, I'd want to be there. And notice, so the Lord spoke to him face to face. I love this. Amazing. Can you imagine God speaking with you face to face? As a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So again, Moses speaking literally face to face to the Lord, whatever that meant. We know that he didn't see God's face in its full glory. We're going to see that in a moment. But he did in some way, because he chose to go outside the camp and set himself apart for the Lord. He had this intimacy with the Lord that others didn't have. And I love this about Joshua. Notice his assistant. This is, we would be like, you'd call his assistant pastor, I guess. But notice Joshua, his assistant, it says, stayed there in the tabernacle. He didn't depart. Now, I don't know that he lived there all the time, but at least when it was service time, so to speak, he was there basically to watch the facilities to make sure that everything was taken care of. And this is what a good assistant does. He arrives before the pastor, he stays after the pastor, and makes sure that everything is done right. That's really what a servant of the Lord does. Joshua was this kind of guy, and so he was a huge blessing to Moses. And notice then Moses said to the Lord, all right, so now he's going to kind of talk this out with the Lord, because God, the Lord told him that he wasn't going to be among them in their midst, and now he set up a place outside the camp so he can have an intimacy with the Lord. And Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you've said, I know you by name, and you've also found grace in my sight. In other words, you've told me that I found grace, you know, you love me and all this, but now who's this angel, this presence? Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, as you say, in other words, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. So, you know, you said you're going to send someone before me and someone who will represent your presence, but you haven't told me who it is. And notice God answers him. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Look at this promise. I love it. Number one, my presence will be with you and I will give you rest. This is something that every believer, I mean, every pastor's got to have, but every believer's got to have the presence of the Lord with us for sure, and rest. Rest. Nothing worse than being restless. I hate being restless. He says, I'll give you both, Moses. And I love this because Moses says exactly what I would say. And I already mentioned it earlier. Verse 15, and Moses said to him, look, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't bring us up. If you're not going to be there, I'm not going. If you're not going to move, if this is not your spirit and your power, I don't want to be a part of it. If I ever felt that God's presence left Calvary Chapel, I would say either bring in another pastor or let's all go to some other fellowship together as a group. Shut the doors down. Let's find a place in town where God is moving. Because without God's presence, what are we doing? We're just gathering together just to do it? Are we doing a religious thing? No, we want the Lord, don't we? We love him. We want to hear his voice. We want to see him move. We want to see God change lives. And God is doing that. His presence is here. But I'm saying Moses, I understand Moses' heart because he said, hey, if you're not, I don't want to do this thing. For how then, and notice his appeal, not only because he wanted God's presence, but notice he was worried about what the world would think as far as God's reputation. Because notice what he says here in verse 16. He says, for how then will it be known that your presence, that your people rather, and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us. If people can't see you moving among us, they're going to think there's nothing to this. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. So the world needs to see it, and they need to see that we're separate from everyone else. So they're not going to know that. They're not going to recognize it. And I love this. Notice the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you've spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Here's what's cool, guys. The New Testament says that's true for all of us as believers. The Bible says if we've given our life to the Lord, we found grace in his sight. Paul says over and over, grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace, right? But not just that. Notice he says, I know you by name. Did you know the Lord knows you by name? I know you know that, but just think about that for a minute. He knows you by name. Intimate with you. It's exciting. It's good to know that God knows me by name. And then I love what Moses says here. Look at verse 18. And he said, please show me your glory. That's what I want to see. I was praying that tonight. Guys, that's the prayer tonight for us too. I want to pray for us as a body that we'd see God's glory. Now, it might not be the Shekinah cloud that fills the room, so to speak. Although I did say in our prayer time before, and Lord, if you want to do that, that's fine. And if any fire alarms go out, please proceed quickly to the nearest exits. But if a fire alarm doesn't go off, just enjoy. Because that's what he does for Moses here. But man, to see God's glory. Now he's going to describe what his glory is. Because this is something I've never, I don't know, it hit me new today. Like it never has before. Because notice, he says, show me your glory. Now listen how God describes his glory. Verse 19, this is the glory of the Lord, guys. Then he said, all right, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Here's part one. There's two parts to God's glory, but notice this. I will make all my goodness pass before you. The Lord's good, isn't he? I looked up the word goodness, and it has so many wonderful meanings. Just God's sweetness, his gentleness, his love, his grace, his provision. His kindness, his mercy, all these things are God's goodness. Just good. He's just good. Remember we saw the rich young ruler on Sunday come running up to the Lord Sunday night. The rich young ruler runs up to the Lord. He says, Lord, he says, good rabbi, good master, what must I do to be saved? He goes, whoa, why are you calling me good? None is good but God. It comes from this right here. Part of the glory of God is what? His goodness. So Jesus was saying, are you recognizing that I'm God? Are you recognizing my goodness, my benevolence, my grace, my mercy? My love, my gentleness, my kindness. Are you recognizing that? That's God's goodness. I don't know about you guys, but I was praying for God to let me see his glory today. And when I learned this, I was praying this. I was saying, Lord, I want to see your goodness in my life. I want to see your goodness in my family's life. I want to see your goodness in my friends' lives. I want to see your goodness in this church's life. I want to see God's goodness. You guys want to see his goodness? That's his glory, part one. God's glory, part one, his goodness, just good. And part two, again, notice this. Here's the second part, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And we're going to see in another place where he tells us what he proclaimed, his name was. But the second part of God's glory is just proclaiming his name. That is, what was your name? What did it mean to talk about your name back then? It was who you were. Everything you represent, it was your very essence, your very being. To say someone's name is to speak of them as their family name, who they are. They were known by their name. God is known by his name. Jesus was known by his name. You know, you can name certain people today and you already, it just gives you an impression of who they are, doesn't it? They're known by their name. God is good and his name. And when he passes by and proclaims the name, he proclaims his glory and his goodness and his mercy and his long-suffering and his gentleness and his kindness and all these things it tells us in another place as he passes by and proclaims the name of the Lord. This is God's glory. And he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That is, I'll show mercy and show myself to whom I'll show myself to. And I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That is, I'll have mercy and grace on whom I will have mercy. Guys, who is God's grace and mercy for today? Those who believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross. which means if you are part of that, God will show you his grace. God will show you his compassion. God will show you his goodness. God will show you his name and who he is and reveal himself to you. And there's nothing better than this. And this is the Lord in his full glory. I love it. What a great way to describe the Lord. Otherwise, we have no grace and compassion from the Lord. But we do have it because God says through the cross. Now, we know that he gave that to them then through their sacrifices, but now through the cross. And look at verse 20. He gives limits to this, though. Look at this. He says, but you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Now, what does he mean? We can't see God in his full glory in these bodies. These bodies were not created to handle God in his full glory. It'd be like trying to float in outer space without a spacesuit. The moment you got outside of the shuttle, you would just suffocate and die because your body is not created to live in that atmosphere with no oxygen. It's not made for that. The same as these bodies are not made for God's glory in heaven. If God was to reveal his glory in that fullness right now, it would just disintegrate us. We would melt. We couldn't take it. The Bible says that the presence of the Lord, the mountains will melt. So imagine what we would do. I mean, it would just be like nothing. So he says, I can't let you see me in my full glory, Moses. But watch this. He did say this. And the Lord said, here's a place by me. Note that, underlined. And you shall stand on the rock. Guys, when Jesus ascended to heaven, where did he sit? At the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that Jesus is our what? Our rock. Here's what the Lord is saying. Moses, you want to see my glory? Look to my son. Look to my right hand, the one that is by me. Look to the rock of your salvation, Jesus Christ. If we want to see God's glory tonight, we want to see God's glory in our generation, in our lives, we're to look to Jesus. That's where the glory is. It's in the face of the Lord. And that's what he's telling Moses. Now, Moses didn't know this yet, and there's going to be a literal rock. He's literally going to let him see his glory to a degree, but there's a beautiful spiritual picture here of Jesus Christ. And notice verse 22, so it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand as I pass by. So I'll let you see my glory. Guys, that's how we see the Lord today. We stand on the rock. We are hidden in Jesus, and the Lord lays his hand on us. That's how we see his glory. It's all through the Lord. The whole picture here is just amazing. So, but literally here, he's there. The Lord puts his hand on him. He's passing by. And notice verse 23, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Why can you not see my face? You can't see my full glory, but I will let you see my what? Afterglow. The word back there is literally the word afterglow. Sometimes we'll talk about having afterglows. We hadn't had any afterglows at Calvary Chapel in a long time, actually. We kind of do. On Wednesday communion nights or Sunday communion nights, it really is, actually, that is a time of afterglow. We have, when we dim the lights and we have communion and there's worship and people come up for prayer, that's kind of an afterglow moment. Where does that come from? From this verse right here. We can't see God's full glory, but when we have that time of drawing near in communion and that time of worship and that time of praise and that time of praying for each other, we get to see God's glory in a limited fashion. We don't see the full frontal of the Lord's glory, but we get to see his back. And I'll tell you, if his back is glorious, what's it going to be like when we see his face, guys? Wow. I love it. He reveals his son to us. He reveals his glory to us. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but what? Then, face to face. It's going to be an awesome day. You know, guys, as we finish this portion tonight, here's really the question. Do you want to see his glory? I want to see his glory.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and his awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for his people. His love and care for them is what compels him to do unheard acts to prove that he's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for his people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and he wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and his unrelenting loyalty to his people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.